Lesson 5. Your flight from start to finish.
Here's a quote by the famous Charles Lindbergh. I own the world as I flew over it. Are you prepared to own the world? In this lesson, you will first learn the special precautions and procedures for extended overwater flights. Next, you will take a virtual practice flight to prepare you for your next flight.
Dear Captain, I took your course about a month ago and it helped me immensely. I've flown for many years fearless, and for some reason this year, anxiety and panic attacks hit me. I was now a person who was totally terrified of flying. I have to take a moment to say thank you. Keep up the good work, and I hope someday I have you as my pilot. Take care.
Extended overwater flights. If your flight is an extended overwater flight, there are many special procedures, precautions, and regulations which apply. And if you're flying on a foreign carrier to or from the United States, the FAA regulations and ICAO standards also apply. ICAO, that's the International Civil Aviation Organization, established the rules and regulations concerning training and licensing of aeronautical personnel, air traffic control, aircraft airworthiness, meteorology, and maps and charts. These aspects require uniformity on a worldwide scale. Some of the additional rules for extended overwater flights include the requirement to carry extra fuel than a domestic flight. Also, the maintenance checks are even more stringent, often requiring functional check flights before a plane is released. The aircraft are equipped with additional radios, including high-frequency and satellite communications and navigation. Additional safety, survival, and medical equipment are included with the normal emergency equipment. The engines are monitored and held to an even higher degree of reliability than on domestic airplanes. Additional backup pilots work on the longer overwater flights, and flights are plotted with equal time points to inform the pilots of the closest alternates, thus keeping the flight within a safe distance of diversion airports in the event of a problem. By preparing for the worst, the flight crew, dispatch, and the FAA are ensuring the best possible outcome if a problem arises. Practice and preparation is the key to accomplishing any endeavor successfully. To prepare you for your next flight, I have a practice flight for you to take. The first thing you want to do is ask yourself why you are flying. It helps if you feel you are in control of this decision. As adults, we are all free to do exactly what we want. We just have to accept the consequences. For example, you are free to choose to skip the flight to your friend's wedding. Your friend is free to choose to understand why you didn't fly, or your friend can choose to get mad at you. I have a feeling your choice is to go ahead and fly for whatever particular reason. You have probably chosen to fly because it will make life easier on yourself in the long run. Don't worry, this is a good choice. Later, you will be happy you made this choice. Just remember, you do not have to take the flight. You are taking the flight because you have chosen to. If you feel someone is forcing you to fly, deal with that before you fly. Nobody likes to be told what to do. You are in control of your life. Preparation. You do not want to be rushed. You want to start preparing for your flight early. Try to make your travel plans and buy your tickets well in advance if possible. Set aside time on the day before your flight to get organized. Packing. Put some thought into packing books, magazines, snacks, etc. Why not bring the best stuff you can think of to make your flight as enjoyable as possible? Wouldn't it help if you ended up actually looking forward to your time on the plane? What to carry on the airplane? Your goodie bag, a CD player, a hard copy of this course. You can get a printout at www.fearofflyinghelp.com. This audio recording, Wings of Discovery paperback book, or the Wings of Discovery audio CD. The night before. Before you go to sleep, you will want to prepare your body as well. You don't want to be overstimulated or dehydrated. Forget the alcohol. Here's a tip. I know I sleep better with two alarms set, so I don't worry during the night that I have set an alarm improperly. Morning of the flight. Dress for success. Wear clothes that make you feel confident. What you wear can make you feel good about yourself. Plan on having at least a little breakfast. Don't drink orange juice or coffee on an empty stomach. The acid can be upsetting to your stomach. It is also a good idea to drink plenty of water. The air in the aircraft cabin is dry. Some people try alcohol or drugs such as Xanax to take the edge off. Please use very sparingly and be sure to follow your doctor's instructions carefully. If you do drink, be careful. Just one drink aloft equals about 3 at sea level. Remember, you are in control. Be deliberate. Don't rush. Take your time. Don't attempt to block your upcoming flight out of your mind. You don't want to end up at the plane and surprise yourself with the reality that you are about to take a flight. It is best to go into this with your eyes wide open. Don't worry, because with the help of this course, you will be the most informed, organized, and prepared passenger on that plane. Leave early enough so that you can drive leisurely to the airport. Plan out enough time to find a parking spot, check your bags, clear the security checkpoint, and check in at the gate 1 hour before your flight. During your drive to the airport, practice the tense lisp and belly breath exercises. Save the virtual vacation for a time when you don't have to keep your eyes on the road. At the airport, as of January 1, 2003, TSA began screening 100% of checked bags. The TSA suggests that you help prevent the need to break your locks by keeping your bags unlocked. In some cases, screeners will have to open your bag as part of a screening process. Airport security checkpoint. Only ticketed passengers will be allowed past the security checkpoint. Be on your best behavior. Do not joke about bombs, weapons, etc. No one will have a sense of humor about such things, and you could very well find yourself detained by authorities. Avoid wearing clothing, jewelry, and accessories that contain metal. Metal items may set off the alarm on the metal detector. Do not pack or bring prohibited items to the airport. Leave gifts unwrapped. They may be open for inspection. Put all undeveloped film and cameras with film in your carry-on baggage. Checked baggage screening equipment will damage undeveloped film. Carry-on baggage is limited to one carry-on bag plus one personal item. Personal items include laptops, purses, small backpacks, briefcases, or camera cases. The boarding lounge. When you get to the boarding lounge, check in at the gate to confirm your seating assignment. If you get the chance, take time to look out the window at the planes. Observe what is going on out there. This would be a good time to think up some questions for the captain, like, how's the weather? And do you expect a smooth ride? Boarding the plane. When your row number or seating group is called, gather your belongings and proceed on board. When you enter the plane, mention to the flight attendants that sometimes you get a little nervous about flying and ask if you may visit with the pilots. This is very important. Visiting the pilots. Many airlines will allow you to visit the pilots. The pilots are always happy to have visitors. You might be surprised at how receptive the pilots will be when you enter the cockpit. But remember, visits to the cockpit can only be made on the ground, not during taxi or flight. So chat with the pilots. They are regular people. Ask questions. Mention your nervousness. They will understand and reassure you. The pilot's confidence is contagious. Now you have a friend up front who knows and cares about you. Finding your seat. It is time to find your seat, store your bags, and get comfortable. If you're sitting next to someone, introduce yourself and say, "Does flying ever make you nervous?" Talking to and sharing your fears with someone else can do wonders for you. Engine start. At this point, condition air is probably being supplied by the auxiliary power unit, the APU. The APU is a standby turbine-powered electrical generator which also acts as an air conditioner. When the pilots start the engines, they will shut off the flow of cold air for just a minute. This airflow is actually used to spin the jet engines for starting. Once the engines have started, the cabin airflow can now come from all the running engines. Taxiing for takeoff. While taxiing for takeoff, you may hear noises coming from the hydraulics as the flaps are lowered and your pilots make one more control check. You may notice the wings flex or bounce a little while taxiing. This is okay. You want flexible wings that give a smooth ride and bend but don't break. There will normally be a short PA from the pilots and a ding to notify the flight attendants to get seated for takeoff.
Flight attendants, prepare for takeoff, please.
There are checklists for each phase of flight. Pre-flight, starting engines, taxi, takeoff, climb, cruise, descent, landing, after landing, parking, and post-flight. The pilots methodically complete each item and then double-check the other pilots' actions. There are also many automatic warning systems to alert the pilots if the aircraft systems aren't configured correctly. Takeoff. Once the takeoff checklist is complete and the plane is lined up on the runway, the pilots apply takeoff power. You will then hear a little roar as the jet engines spool up. As you travel down the runway, you may feel small bumps. This is from the runway surface and the runway centerline lights. The takeoff roll down the runway is normally about 20 seconds. The lightweight interior panels and fascia may rattle and vibrate a little at first. After a few moments, the nose of the plane will tilt up, and everything seems to get quieter and smoother as you lift off. Takeoff is a phase of flight that scares a lot of people. Some of the sensations you may notice is your ears may feel funny because of air pressure change in the cabin. This happens because the plane's pressurization system begins to activate during takeoff. The pressurization system actually makes the climb more comfortable on your ears by gently adjusting cabin pressure. Once at cruise altitude, the cabin pressure is similar to the air pressure you would experience if you drove to the mountains, about 6,000 or 7,000 feet. Sometimes it may feel like the plane is climbing too steeply. The steep angle is normal because it enables us to climb rapidly to smoother and more efficient altitudes. Also, in the unlikely event of an engine failure, it doesn't hurt to have a little extra altitude. Don't worry about the steep angles. That just means your airplane has a lot of extra power. Some people worry that an engine might quit. Engine failures are extremely rare, but as with everything else, the pilots are prepared. Engine failures are practiced routinely in training. The engine failure training drills are so demanding that if an engine really does fail, it's easy just to circle around and land again. The FAA mandates that even with an engine out on the takeoff run, the plane must still be able to lift off, clear all obstacles by a wide margin, and comfortably return for landing. Each takeoff is planned so that if an engine fails, the pilots can either have plenty of room to stop on the remaining runway or continue to take off safely and return for landing. From a pilot's perspective, takeoffs aren't really a big deal. We apply power, steer the plane straight down the runway, and once we reach the proper speed, we tilt the nose of the plane up so the wings can begin generating lift, and away we go. Remember that airplanes are meant to fly and actually handle better in the air than on the ground. The plane is happiest in the air. That's where it's meant to be, experiencing the beauty of flight. During takeoff, see if you can enjoy the feel of the acceleration. These jetliners have lots of power and can really move. That's good. Imagine if your car could merge onto the freeway with power like that. After takeoff, if you are sitting near the wings, you may hear some whirring and bumping noises from the hydraulics and the thump of the landing gear retracting. If you are near the front of the plane, you may hear the thump of the nose gear retracting. During gear retraction, the gear doors open and close, adding to the sounds you'll hear. Then you might notice the whine of flaps retracting. You may feel the plane settle just a little bit when the flaps retract. When the flaps are retracted, it reduces the wing's lift and increases the plane's speed. This is normal. Next, you might hear another ding or a short PA notifying the flight attendants it is safe to leave their seats. You stay put, though, until the seatbelt sign is turned off. Shortly after takeoff is a good time for sightseeing. You might want to take the opportunity to enjoy some of the beautiful views. During climb-out, the plane may level off once or twice before reaching cruise altitude due to air traffic above, so you may feel the nose pitch downward gently and the engines throttle back. Cruise. Now is the time to finally relax and entertain yourself. Your flight can be quite enjoyable if you do it right. If you don't feel like sleeping, you have lots of stuff to do. Snack, read, listen to music, look at pictures, chat with your seatmate, and maybe watch an in-flight movie. At some time, you might also want to stretch your legs and visit the lavatory. When looking out the window, you'll notice that there really isn't any sensation of height. The ground looks kind of flat and artificial. If at any time you wonder what you're flying over or have any questions or concerns, ask a flight attendant. If they can't answer your question, they can relay your questions up to the pilots. If your kids are along with you, ask them to draw a picture for the pilots. We love getting drawings from kids as they get off the plane. Don't worry if there are bumps. It is normal to be concerned about turbulence. Many people are. Even strong turbulence is quite harmless, as long as your seatbelts are snug. For the most part, flying is smooth. After all, you're riding on air. At this point, you probably will not have any more real bad nervousness. The act of getting onto the plane is most likely the hardest part of the trip. Descent. Beginning about 30 minutes from landing, the plane will start its descent. As a passenger, I like this part because I know I'm almost at my destination. Soon the seatbelt sign will be turned back on again.
Flight attendants, prepare for landing.
You may feel some pressure build in your ears a little as the air gets thicker. To relieve any pressure buildup in your ears, you can yawn or swallow. You can also plug your nose, close your mouth, and blow gently. This will make a little popping sound in your ears, but it feels good. Approach. Sometimes during approach for landing, the pilots will need to slow down to fit into the traffic flow. To do this, they may extend the speed brakes, which are the large panels on top of the wings. These panels block airflow over the wing, causing drag. You may feel a slight buffeting or vibration while slowing down. More noises to expect would be the whine of the flaps extending again, and a few minutes before touchdown, the thump of the landing gear going down. Once the landing gear extends, you will hear more sounds of air rushing by. Your checklist is about complete. The pilot's checklist is complete. Clear for landing. The plane's landing gear has a warning horn if it is not lowered for landing. The landing gear is just like a heavy-duty shock absorber. It can stand very hard landings, which are rare, especially my landings. There are large safety margins built into everything. We are trained to always set up on a long, stabilized approach. We do it the same way every time. Landings are easy. Sometimes we land so smoothly, we have to call the tower to verify we are really on the ground. After touchdown on the runway, the pilots gently lower the nose wheel and apply reverse thrust. Quite often, you will hear the engines roar a little as the exhaust thrust is redirected forwards. The two other methods for slowing the plane are the massive wheel brakes, which have anti-skid protection, and the speed brakes, which pop up on the top of the wings to cancel lift and provide aerodynamic braking. Once the plane is slowed, it is taxi clear the runway. The engines come out of reverse, the flaps and speed brakes are retracted, and the plane is taxied to the gate. You have done it. Congratulations. I hope you're excited about what you have accomplished, because I am. You knew you wanted help with a problem, you did something about it, and now you've achieved your goal of flying comfortably without fear. Just like Mr. Lindbergh, now you too own the world.
Dear Captain Stacy, not only did I enjoy my flight, I was the calmest person on the plane. Your course is excellent not only for flying, but an analytical approach to anxious situations in general. Thanks.
Some people suffer with their fears for many years without doing anything about it. It is common for people to try to ignore or avoid their fears. You should be proud of taking the necessary steps to conquer your fears. The completion of this course has made you the most prepared and informed person for your next flight. Remember, you can find more information at www.fearofflyinghelp.com, where you will also find links to my message board forum. And you can find Wings of Discovery at www.fearofflyingbook.com. You can get it in paperback, ebook, and audiobook. Thank you for taking the time to complete this program. You'll do great. See you on the flight deck.